So let's go to God in prayer as we prepare ourselves for the word today. Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives. We thank you, Father God, and we are humble. We are truly humbled, Lord, by your call and your commission. A commission, O God, to do the work in these last days, to do all that you commission us to do, to be obedient to that is our desire, Lord. And we know, Lord, that the shape and preparation for the coming revival is upon us. And we ask, O God, that you give us the strength, the grace, the wisdom to prepare ourselves so that we could work together with your Spirit and with your angels to do the work of your kingdom. And we pray, God, that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, that your will be done and established on this planet. We ask, O God, that you continue to reveal to us those things that you are bringing for this year, a great year of breakthrough, a year, O God, of grace and favor. And we ask, O Lord, that as we study your word, as we examine your word, we will grow in understanding grace and favor in our lives, that we could be established in you. O Father, let grace and favor be upon each one of us, especially upon your people who love you, who love your word, who desire after you. And we thank you, Father God, for all that you do. Glorify Jesus afresh in our midst, and cause us, O God, that we may know you in a greater fullness, that we may know your word and know your Spirit. Especially, Lord, stir our hearts that we may love you even more, that we may desire after you, Father God, and all that your Spirit has for us. And we ask, O God, that even this day, as we prepare ourselves in you, that you continue, Lord, to open our eyes, open our heart and understanding. Reveal yourself to our lives, O God, that you are truly the Almighty God of the universe and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven and earth, under whom Jesus has all authority and power. We ask, O God, that you stretch forth your hand as your word is ministered, that signs and wonders will be done in your name. Confirm your word with signs and wonders, O God, and let your word be strong upon your people, and cause us, O God, to be transformed as you reveal yourself in our midst, Lord. Reveal yourself in our midst, that our hearts may receive you. Open our eyes that we may see you, Father, and that we may know you with all that is within us. We declare our love for you, and we declare our praises and worship unto you. Receive all the glory, worship, and honor, Father, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. In Jesus' name, and everyone say, Amen. Praise God. Well, grace and favor, we had covered two sessions on grace and favor. And I have a printout of or the Old King James Version, which I quite like, where every word on grace and favor is recorded. And how many words are there? Well, now each translation is different. So in the Old King James Version, and these are not all the verses. These verses are the one with the English translation. We haven't even examined the Hebrew word. In terms of the Hebrew word for grace and favor is the Hebrew word ken, and spelled as C-H-E-N, ken. And that Hebrew word ken has occurred altogether. Of course, the word grace in the New Testament is the word charis. So the Hebrew word ken, the word charis, and then plus the other words for favor in the Greek, which we'll look at, also containing the word charis. Altogether, you have 229 verses that are there. But because some of the verses have more than one repetition, so altogether it occurs 240 times in the Old King James Version. And that doesn't cover every Hebrew word and every Greek word that is the original word can or the Greek word charis. That might be translated into some other words besides grace and favor. But We know about grace and favor. People love grace and favor. The desire after grace and favor. We all know what grace and favor does to us. Grace and favor does to us what the world calls luck and favor. And the world always is looking for more luck and more blessings and more prosperity. Well, all those things are but the fringe benefits of one who has grace and favor with God. And thus we want to have grace and favor. And we have learned in the first two sessions that grace and favor is linked to wisdom. It says the wisdom in the book of Proverbs, we have quoted to you, that in the book of Proverbs, where there's a whole section from chapter 3 right on to chapter 9, it talks about wisdom. Sometimes wisdom personifies itself as a person crying out on the streets. And how wisdom puts upon us an ornament of grace. And that's how we tie the spirit of wisdom with grace. And we show that it is also true of lives. For example, the reason why Joseph has grace and favor is because he got wisdom. Pharaoh recognized the spirit of wisdom on him. And the reason why Daniel has favor and grace is also because he had the spirit of wisdom. And we have tied directly how the spirit of wisdom will ordain grace upon our lives. And so we have found that since we need wisdom, we say, all right, let's pray for the spirit of wisdom so that we can have more grace. And we have found that, okay, let's pray for the spirit of wisdom. But the spirit of wisdom got so many dimensions. And we talk about how the spirit of wisdom needs to work with us in five different dimensions. And we talk about all the five areas we should play on the English words of what to do, of how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, and who does it, and linking up the right who. And so all these words are the five rivers in which the spirit of wisdom flows. You notice that we have left out the why, which I mentioned is the base, why we do it. And that we're going to touch on even more today, the why. But not in the sense of explaining the word why. I'll show you here that when you do a word study of the word grace or the word favor, and the word grace and favor actually comes in the Hebrew from the same word. The word favor is also from the word can. And but the translator is sometimes grace, sometimes favor. Why do the English translations do that? Translate the same Hebrew word into two different, totally English words. I believe because of the sense of its application. And we're going to look into that. Especially today, we have touched on the word grace. Let's look at why can is translated as the word favor. And even though it's the same Hebrew word. And we're going to take our text from Proverbs. And so if you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs, and I have a list of all the Bible scriptures here. I like the Old King James. So you can follow me in your translation, which is most likely in the New King James. And in the book of Proverbs, let's see here. Let's see how many occurrences it has. I got a listing of how many times it occurred. 21 verses with 21 matches. So there are 21 verses with the word grace and favor in the book of Proverbs, based on the Old King James translation. That's one of the most. If you wonder which book has the most verses on grace and favor, on grace or on favor, well, in the Old Testament, it is found the most in the book of Proverbs. 21 times. The second book, most common where it's found, book of Psalms, 15 times. What about the New Testament? The book that founds the most words for grace or favor, book of Romans, 24 times. So you want to examine what grace and favor is, now you know which book to read and to examine. What's the second book? Strangely, the book of Acts. And the word grace is mentioned. And so here we are in the book of Proverbs, and you can follow me in your book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 9, and as you look at that book, I like the transparency to also show the Bible verses so that you can follow along. And sometimes I might ask Esther to just have a look at the words there. Yes, and just look at these words down here. We make it in big print so that you could see also. And just for a moment, Esther, put your mouse over this word favor here. Over this. And then the Hebrew words appear. You notice it's the Hebrew word can, C-H-E-N. And it tells you what it means, preciousness, favor, pleasant, precious, grace, etc. And you got other things. And the version that we use here of this projected Bible is a free version called ESOT that you can download from the internet for those of you install in your computer. And it's as good as some of the expensive versions of $200-$300. And so thank you for that. And so you can find the exact words that are there, the Hebrew words on everyone, and they have numbered every Hebrew word that is there. Now, as we look here, let's look at the word in your Bible, those of you who are looking in your Bible. And a reminder, Proverbs chapter 1 verse 9, and you will find that it says, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about that your neck." And that is talking about grace being put upon you by the Spirit of wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 3 verse 22, so Proverbs is easy to follow. It says, "So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." Again, a repetition of the blessings of grace will be on you if you have the Spirit of wisdom. But where we want to focus on today is other verses, and bring out the beauty of these other verses and let you see for yourself the same association. You could have found the same thing that we're teaching if you had a look at every single verse called grace and favor. So that gives you an idea of how to explore the Bible. And I don't know why it never occurred to people before, but it is all there. Except that it's there, but you can't see it. And someone needs to point to you, "Hey, it's there." Now, let me read these verses to you and tell me what you can find a new association. There's a new association between grace and wisdom, which we discovered. There's an association between favor and something else. So I purposely read those verses with those words inside. See if you can see it before I tell you. So you got a few seconds prior to conclude. Praise God. So turn on your spirit mind. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 4, if you have it. Proverbs 3 verse 4. And so it says here, "So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men." Okay. Then the next one that we will jump to. Let's look at verse chapter 11, verse 27. 11:27. "He that diligently seeketh good procured favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him." That is, mischief will come upon him. Now, these are important verses. Remember, of all the Old Testament books, the book of Proverbs has the most matches on grace and favor. And if you want to learn about grace and favor, make sure you read this book and understand the verses where grace and favor occur in this book. I heard many people teach on grace and favor, but no one referred to Proverbs when most of the verses are there. Heard people teach on grace and favor, but up to a couple of weeks ago, many people still didn't realize that grace and wisdom are related. They say, I want favor, but didn't know that it's related to wisdom. Well, there's one more relationship that we're looking at, and it's found in this particular verse, chapter 11, verse 27 too. This is the second verse that I gave to you. Now, the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 2. "A good man obtain favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn." So you want grace and favor, think about what that verse says. Now this is the third verse I've given to you. And next chapter, chapter 13, verse 15. "Good understanding giveth favor, But the way of transgressors is hard. I wonder what your translation is normally. Let me take a peep at your King James, New King James. Okay. And I hope it doesn't sound that too different, but that's why we have the New King James that is there. But that's the other verse, Proverbs 13 verse 15. And this one, not that related, but it's good to just throw it in. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 22. And for those of you single, have a very careful look at that one. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Sorry ladies, the Lord referred to you as a thing. But fortunately for you, the word thing is not in the Bible. It's in italics. And so, not those of you husband with your wife there, you know, you just then you're a very good thing. Praise the Lord. And anyway, it says there, and obtain favor. Hey, look at that. Obtain favor of the Lord. Of course, now some of you single, getting miserable, you say, wow, not fair. Those married got more favor. And so, those that haven't discovered. Now, don't worry. This is just speaking about marriage relationship, that it can actually increase favor upon your life. And so now the good thing next to you, if you're married, can look and say, huh, because of me, you got favor. Anyway, and you have those verses that are there. One more verse for you, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 1. The last one. Remember the 21 verses, but we only give you these few verses for today. Proverbs 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen. So those of you, your name not so good, water baptism, Eddie has some names, right? Alright, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Hey, a good name is worth more than all your condominium and the money in the bank. And it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, in your New King James, is it still loving favor? They kept consistent, right? Loving favor. Okay. Now, before I start the teaching, anybody, any Tom, Dick, or Harry, Ahmad, Akal, Ramasamy, could have got these verses. But the difference is the analysis of the verses. That's why you come on Sunday for the teaching. So, up to this point, anyone saw any relationships? I purposely chose those verses for you. Yes. Yes! I purposely chose the verses to show you that there is a relationship between the word good, goodness, and favor. Besides the other relationship between grace and wisdom. And then we explore what wisdom is. And that one, you know, that needs more skill to explore what wisdom is. To know the association, there's one spot. And that's why we go for teaching. Now, we can conclude from those verses that the word good and the word favor is related. But unless you are a Hebrew or Greek scholar, you might not know that the word favor is from the same Hebrew word, which we are telling you today. The word favor is the word ken, which is the exact same Hebrew word, ken, that is translated grace everywhere else. So the next time you read grace and favor, remember, same word. It's the English that make it two different words, and for whatever reasons. But let's explore today the conclusion that we have. How is good or goodness related to grace and favor? What's the relationship? And that's why, even though we have discovered that, you cannot say, okay, we got the answer, now let's all go home. So the purpose is to analyze why is good or goodness related to grace and favor? There are many reasons. And the first thing we want to point out here is that how the relationship of goodness functions in those verses. That's the first place to start. So now you know how I do my analysis. And before you jump all over the place,
have a thorough analysis of the chemicals you're dealing with, which is the verses. So let's look at those verses where the word good and the word grace or favor are related. And look at how they connect. Looking at how the molecular bonds hang on to one another. How the carbon atoms join to the hydrogen atoms. How the hydrogen atoms join to the oxygen atoms into form water or to form whatever else. And how the word good is joined to the word grace or favor. How is it joined? On what basis does it join? And so let's start again with the verses we have. And this time we have Esther helping us, pointing to some of the translations we have with the word good that we have for you here. Let's start with that verse chapter 3, verse 4 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. And so that's the verse here. And let me take the little pointer to help out. Now, we know that the word favor, if Esther put the mouse over here, is the same word can. No difference at all. Only English has translated the word grace. You could say, so shall thou found grace and good understanding. But English is translated favor. But what we need to look is the word good here. Put the mouse over here. The word good here, sorry, I'll read that for you because this part is too small. Is the Hebrew word top, more pronounced tobe, because of the little things above it. You notice that in Hebrew, they write the vowels with little dots, and one missing dot, the vowel is gone. So it's the word spelled T-O-B, but pronounced tobe, tobe. And a tobe is the generic word for good. Now, if you move the mouse over here, under Hebrew 2-8, oh, okay. Let's a little bit of skill. Okay. And that Hebrew word 2895, no one to worry about it. We got the general word that is there. But the word tobe is there. But the tobe is applied to the word understanding. Correct? It's not just talking about good, which is the Hebrew word tobe. It's the good is applied to another word. And that's the word understanding. And you want to know what is understanding, so you got to go deeper and look into the word understanding and see what that word understanding is. So let's move the mouse over here. The word understanding comes from the Hebrew word sekel, or what is commonly pronounced as sekel. Sekel. S-E-K-E-L, but sometimes romanized as S-A-K-A-L, sometimes S-A-Y-K-A-L. Sekel. And sometimes I've taught on it. Remember, I taught on the Hebrew words for wisdom. And one of the Hebrew words is the word, I purposely pronounce it differently, sakal. So in the Malay word, I think sakai talks about one remote and really undeveloped people. But here, the word sakal or sekal, as pronounced by the Westerners, sekal, that is here, talks about understanding one of the attributes of wisdom. And the word sekel is actually intelligence, discretion, knowledge, prudence, sense, a common sense kind of thing, sense, and tie up back in with wisdom and knowledge. So it's more in the area of having common sense, more area of having discretion. And so then it goes to tobe sakel. Those who have so shall thou find favor and tobe sakel in the sight of God and man. That means those who have the wisdom of God will have favor, but together with the favor, there is a flow of sakel understanding. Good sakel understanding. It has to do with a transformation of the mind. Goodness. Let's look at another verse that I'd like you to look at in chapter 11, verse 27. We click on chapter 11, 27. Here, he that diligently seek good. Now you're actually seeking good, not just seeking wisdom. When you're seeking good, the word is procure. Now, put the words over, mouse over procure. Procure is a word means to search out, to inquire, to get, to make inquisition, and to request, to require, to somehow go after it. And
So when you seek, look at the word seek here. The word seek is different from the word procure. Okay, the word seek is to painstakingly, and the root word is the word for dawn, which is to rise up early, to do something. It's a dawn, to rise early, etc. Now, we wouldn't realize that the word seek include early. We wouldn't know in the English when you say seek after the Lord. You didn't realize that in the root word seek, it means that's the first thing you look after. So it doesn't just imply, you know, that you have to be early bird and not night bird. Then the owls are not blessed, only the sparrows are blessed. So some of you are night owls. It just means that's the first thing you see in your life, when you're conscious. It's uppermost prioritization of what you desire. And so the word seek is means early, the first thing that you do. He that always first thing seek for good, seek for Tobey, and you will obtain or receive favor. But those who, of course, seek after mischief, seek to do wrong, the opposite will happen to them. So it speaks something about being good, something about goodness. And now we're just exploring, spreading out the word. We haven't done deep analysis yet. We just put a microscope to the verses. And one more verse that I'd like you to put a microscope over is the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 2. In Proverbs 12, verse 2, I'll go over here so I won't block anyone. And Proverbs 12, verse 2 says, a good man obtain. Now let's look at the word obtain for a moment. Is the word poke. And here's the pronunciation, here's the actual romanization. And it says, it's a primitive word that means to be furnished with. Now, to furnish already, it tells you something. When you furnish something, it's an addition to you. So, a good man, on top of the goodness, you obtain favor of the Lord. But a wicked man, wicked devices will he condemn. No. Another verse that put your microscope over is Proverbs 13, verse 15. Now, let's look at the word good understanding again. The word good, of course, is Tobey. The word understanding. Here is the same, Seikal. So this is twice it used a combination of the word. Tobey, Seikal. And good intelligence. Or a good common sense. A sense of always doing good. Good understanding, giveth. Now, let's look at the word. Why giveth? And the root word for the word giveth is cause, to effect, to deliver, to direct, to frame. In other words, it causes your path to frame. Many people like us like things to be planned for us. When you have good understanding or Tobey Seikal, God plans and the angel plan favor before you. Your ways are filled with favor. So the word giver here has an element of the word something being planned for you. And it looks like angels are released to work and plan our way ahead when we have a good heart. That is there. And one more verse and to show you why we need to look at these verses through a microscope and not just through normal looking. Proverbs 22 verse 1. Yes. Where you say a good name. Now notice the word good name, the word good is not in the Hebrew. The good thing about the King James and the New King James, and which will be also in my translation of the Bible, when the word is not in the original, it will be italics. So you know it's added in order to make the verse clearer. But it's not in the original. So the word good is not in the original. But the word name is. So if you don't put the word good, this is what the word sounds like. And it says here, a name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving. See, no meaning. Can you see that? You just put a name. You know, everybody got a name. So the English, to make it clearer, put the word good name. But why good? Well, this is where the microscope helps. Put your mouse over the word loving. And look, the word loving is not the Hebrew word for love. It's not the Hebrew word for love. There's a different Hebrew word for love. The word loving is actually the word tobe. Ah, now you all can say tobe. Then after that lunch you can have tofu. Tobe sounds like a Japanese name, right? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, that's another name that Eddie is going to add to the baptism list, right? So, tobe. As long as your name is not Tomato Tan. Yeah? And so, there you got tobe. And you got tobe favor. Say, what tobe favor? Tobe favor means good favor. And that is why the English put the word good here to bring it forth. And so, how can we put it? And it says, if the original Hebrew sounds like, a name is rather to be chosen than great riches, good favor rather than silver and gold. And then the good favor doesn't bring much meaning. So the English twist and turn, try to bring out the essence of the Hebrew meaning, put a good name. It's rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor. But the word love is not the normal Greek word, Hebrew word for love. It's the Hebrew word tobe, which we all know very well by now. It just means good. So how come goodness is so important? And it talks about goodness more precious than riches, silver and gold. Goodness looks as valuable as wisdom. And so we ask ourselves the question, why is this goodness so important? And if goodness has to do with grace and favor, and how is the relationship? And this is the part where we cannot say, okay, now when we analyze a microscope, we are okay now. We need to know how goodness works. What is goodness? And when you look at the Hebrew word for, if you do a search under goodness, you'll find that it comes from two Hebrew words. The word goodness sometimes comes from the Hebrew word chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, sometimes pronounced as chesed, and or the other word, tobe, a root of the, so same word tobe, but more speaking of the results of goodness. And so it's the word tobe is also found. And the one in Psalms chapter 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That word goodness includes favor. Not just the blessings of the Lord, but the favor of the Lord is upon me, such that I receive goodness that is there. And so knowing all these things, we explore and we see how is the word good related to favor. And so the whole thing is under that one word, why we do what we do. When your desire is to do good, when it's born out of goodness, born out of love, you will actually gather more grace and favor. When one has an evil heart, you see, our intentions are very important. Why you intend for something, and the reason why we do what we do, the intention of our heart will either maximize or minimize grace and favor. Wow, that's something to think about. And people ask, why do some people have more grace and favor, some less? The intentions of their heart. The factor why they do what they do. Now, outwardly, everything can look the same. In fact, two people can do the exact same job. But one's intent is self-seeking with some area of mischief. Remember, the word mischief was in the book of Proverbs. The other with a pure intention to love God or to help people. One person will receive zip, and in fact, some measure of recompense of evil deeds. The other person receives great grace and favor and reward. Outwardly, they look the same. But one received grace and favor, the other did not. You could sweep the floor or clean the floor with different motives. People might come to church and serve God. And they say, no, I want to serve God, I want to do it. But only God knows the heart of heart. And a person might say, oh, I want to do extra work for the church. And then the person is cleaning, vacuuming, wiping all the chairs. If in their heart they do it because they love God, and they love the sanctuary of God, and they love the people of God, like Brother Lawrence, everything they do, you say, Lord, I'm doing this unto you. Lord, I love you with every... Remember Brother Lawrence, everything. He could even pick up a pencil as an act of worship. Say, wow! You know, if... I'm going to drop the pen here. But if something is on the floor, for Brother Lawrence, if you haven't read The Practice of the Presence of God, Brother Lawrence, he prayed to the God of pots and pans. Say, which God? In his prayer, he has, because as a monk, he was assigned to the most menial job. He hated. He preferred to meditate, pray, do all the spiritual things that all the other monks do. But as a monk, you got to start wherever he was. So at first, he don't like it. He had to do all the menial tasks. Until he began to learn to do menial tasks for the glory of God. And so you could even look at a pencil that has fallen, and say, God, I love you, and this is not in the right place. I do it as an act of worship. And you pick it up, oh Lord, thank you for the joy of putting something back in its right order. Thank you, Lord. He could do it that way, but you know, somebody might come and say, which idiot dropped this thing here? And you pick it and put it back. Okay? Two ways to do it. The second person became more idiotic. Right. The first person received grace and favor. The reasons why we do what we do determine it. And so another person can be doing the same vacuuming and cleaning, and the person that say, I hope somebody noticed me. Hope somebody noticed me. And then they time it so that everybody can see what they do. Instead of doing it, the best time to vacuum is when nobody is there. But they will do it when everybody is there. So you can see me. And purposely leave the most public place so that they can see you wiping. You won't receive grace and favor. Because the heart is self-seeking. And so the same work can increase. So can you imagine? Every day we probably do hundreds of things. Imagine if we increase the amount of things and we focus on goodness and doing good to people and doing something well for God. It increases the grace and favor exponentially. As you all know, the butterfly effect. You just add a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, exponentially it changes on a big, massive scale. And the butterfly effect became more... prominent when one day they had this weather forecast, and you know, computers, powerful computers, take all the air pressure, temperature, all these things from different places and do all the massive calculation. And so the meteorologists they have to cut off at some point because too much data. So when they do the calculation, they might cut off, let's say, at 3 decimal points, and then they say, okay, that's a prediction. Then one day another researcher say, let's see what happens if we cut off at 5 decimal points or 6 decimal points, which means the calculation is even more precise. It goes to 0.00005, or for example, it's 0.003. And so cut at 5 decimal points, and then they look at the same prediction, totally different. It's called the butterfly effect. Just additional 2 decimal points changes the whole prediction. And so the butterfly effect, doing a little bit each day, with a good heart, a little bit of worship. Remember what I encourage you to do? 7 times a day, raise your hands and say, praise you, Lord. And makes a lot of difference. The little things accumulate into our life. Well, if goodness is just the motivation of our heart, what is there to it? Well, let's analyze goodness, and especially how it can flow through our life. Already when I'm speaking, you can see one major point. It talks about the heart. But this is the thing about goodness. Goodness has to affect our heart, our mouth, our hands. It's more than just one area. It's a flow out in good works. And let's look at the Bible as it analyzes in goodness. Let's look at the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus talks about goodness. And let's analyze what Jesus mentioned in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. He starts off by talking about love. So in Luke chapter 6, he says in verse 27. Have you found it yet? Luke chapter 6 verse 27. Now these are the associations that if you didn't have enough knowledge of the Bible, you couldn't go through. If you got sufficient Bible tools, you could easily have found those verses for grace and favor. And you have Greek and Hebrew tools, you could analyze the Greek and Hebrew words. But then, if you did not have enough breadth of scriptures, you wouldn't know how to pull the scriptures together. And that's where the Holy Spirit helps. And the knowledge of the Bible, thorough knowledge of the Bible helps, because it just springs forth. And the association comes forth. And that's where the purpose of teaching is. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27, it says here, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." We got the first point for today. The first point for today is that goodness comes forth from love. Very simple association. That unless you have love, you cannot have goodness. Apparently, goodness flows forth from love. Now, goodness is very close to kindness, which is why the word goodness sometimes in Hebrew come from the other word chesed, which actually means kindness. And kindness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, originally translation. Goodness is one of the fruit of love in the Old King James Version, Galatians 5:22-23. So you cannot have goodness unless you have a heart of love. True love for God, true love for people. And the more you express that love forward, the more favor comes. Remember what it says about goodness? When you seek goodness early, and when goodness combines in your life with understanding, with your common sense. You know, a lot of people have common sense, but not everybody has goodness common sense. In other words, this is a sad thing about being smart and being intelligent. If you're too smart and too intelligent, without being a loving person, you become highly critical. You know why? Everybody fails your standard. So if you're clever, intelligent, very wise, you can be a miserable person. And it's nothing new. Ecclesiastes said it. One of the smartest person in the world, Solomon, before he came closer to God, he was talking about vanity of vanities. All is vanity, poor fellow. Right? He got all the riches, gold, silver, smartness, everything. His life was miserable. Cannot enjoy his life. Why? Too perfect. Such a perfectionist, everything cannot make a standard. Too smart for his own good. And cannot enjoy life. In the end, he realized, through everything, he realized, hey, just enjoy life, forget about all these things. And just love God. And he always concludes with loving God. And so we have that, if you have a lot of wisdom, remember we talk about wisdom on the other side. Now you see why this part of teaching needs to balance the other side. If you're a smart fella, you know how to do something, you know what to do, and you know when to do it, you know all those things, you're smart and intelligent with an IQ in 4 digits. No such thing, of course.
four digits. Okay, most IQ at least are three digits. And nobody can be with you. Why? You're super, super, that nothing can please you. And guess what? God is something like that. But God matches His intelligence and wisdom with the depth of His love. And so wisdom needs to be tempered with love. And when you have wisdom and intelligence and you have great love, you're very compassionate. Instead of becoming a critical person, which you can be, you become a very compassionate person who train others and help others. Because you love, you know where to help people, which is the intelligence is good. And then your help comes from genuine love because you want to improve them and bring them one step at a time. So love. And Jesus says that love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Because He expects that out of that love will flow goodness. And He's talking about His measure of love, unconditional love. And so every day, seek to love people, seek to love God. So it becomes very simple. Instead of every day, you say, God, give me grace. God, give me favor. God, give me grace. And then after you finish prayer, you start thinking what the nasty things you're going to do to those you don't like. You're canceling everything you just prayed. And or unforgiveness or things, taking revenge, vengeance, all these things starts dropping your grace and favor points. But when you keep thinking of how to love, see, this is talking about your enemies. Enemies are those we love to destroy. Enemies are those you love to really completely wipe them out. But Jesus says, don't do it. Because if you do it, now we begin to see another reason why we should love our enemies. If God knew that by walking in vengeance, it will rob us of kindness and mercy and grace and favor, then He needs to give a commandment to prevent that from happening. And so God prevents us from robbing ourselves. When you take vengeance, when you take tooth for tooth, eye for eye, and you punish another person righteously. Righteously. He didn't say that you were wrong. You could be right. They could be wrong and very wrong. And you punish them mercilessly. You judge them mercilessly. Every judgment and condemnation you put on another person completely remove grace and favor from your life. Dangerous to judge. That's when Jesus said, don't judge. Don't judge. Not for you. And the moment we go around doing those things, grace and favor drops. And not only for some people, drop until go below zero. Minus. Say, what is minus of grace and favor? Well, what would be the word? You know, what's the whatever is opposite of grace and favor? Misfortune? Now, grace and favor, that good things happen to you. So the opposite of that means all the bad things are attracted to you. Misfortune is attracted to you. Disfavor is attracted to you. And if there's such a word, ungrace is attracted to you. In other words, for no reason, people will want to ungrace you. Opposite of grace or mercy will be punishment. So people will, you know, you could be walking down the street, someone kick you. Hey, why you kick me? Because you got ungrace, attract me to kick you. Something like that. For no reason, you know, all those wrong things start happening. No wonder God in His wisdom say, love, love, love. And He even say, I give you a new commandment. Actually, same commandment, but make it new so attractive to you. New commandment. And remind us to love and love. And then we're wondering, you know, why God telling us all this. Actually, it's because He knows it's good for us. It is a blessing when you begin to do good to your enemies and you bless them. You don't reciprocate. So number one is born out of love. Let's continue reading Luke chapter 6, verse 28. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you.
And then it says here, to him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. From him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And when we all look in the natural, we say, hey, this, you're losing all the time. When you give the other cheek, why? One cheek already got slapped, the other got slapped, now two sides painful. You seem to be losing. When you give the tunic, the guy already take one, you give him another, he got two, I got none. It looks economically like you're losing. But no, you are gaining grace and favor. And remember what grace and favor is? It's better than riches and gold. Why, when something is better than riches and gold, when something is better than another, it's because it can easily produce those things. It can easily produce more silver and gold that God has for us. And it says in verse 30, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Wow. If you want grace and favor. Say, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Now, isn't that a sample of grace and favor? What do you like men to do to you? Think about it. Oh, we want favor. We want mercy. We want all the blessings. All the good things people do to us. That's what we want. Jesus already have an inkling on that. Say, all those things will happen if you keep doing good. Favor will return to you. In other words, Jesus is saying in verse 31, what you're doing is sowing. If you sow goodness on the most difficult ground, where it's difficult to be good to this nasty enemy, and yet you do it, imagine the quality of goodness that will come back to you. And it will come back in ways you never realize. There is always payday someday. We are paid by God. Now, we are not earning wages because it's the grace area. But God is a good God who pays His people well. And we pray that we have done enough goodness that when payday comes before God, God says, wow, you got this in your bank in heaven, all these goodness things that I got to, I'm going to send down to you. And they will come pouring down upon you. And then you wonder, wow, God, I don't deserve all this. God says, remember this, remember that, all those good deeds that you have done. Here He comes on you. And so Jesus hinted at that. And anyway, let's look at verse 33 and says, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? See, He's talking about credit. He wants to credit us in heaven. And for even sinners do the same. And then he again says in verse 35, love your enemies, do good. Oh, he's emphasizing again. Well, let's leave that part. And he talked about God is kind, merciful, etc. There's another part of goodness that he continued to flow in verse 43 to 45. Same chapter, Luke chapter 6 is full of it. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. We have point 2 and point 3. Firstly, point 1, to be able to be good, we must have love. It's the foundation of all goodness. Love God, love people. Then when you go point 1 correct, you go to point 2. Our heart needs to be filled with goodness. It's important to have a good heart. And how to make our heart good? And it's not as easy as we think. A good heart needs to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. What's the third point that's in here? Good lips that speak goodness only, and no evil proceed out of your mouth. So a second point on a good heart. This good heart is so important that the Bible tells us when we were born again, God has to give us a new heart. Why a new heart? And this is the problem. Not only do we have sin nature in this physical body, our heart has been polluted by sin nature even before we came to know God. Our heart tends towards evil. There is sin nature locked into our heart from the little things that we have accumulated before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And also from the very fact that this physical world forces us to be one that tries to look after self-preservation. The desire for self-preservation is so strong that it tends towards self-seeking, tends towards selfishness, and everything that's of self, which is sadly sometimes borderline into evil heart. Not really there yet, but it's right at the borderline. Just one more step, it becomes an evil heart. Which is why the Bible tells us to cleanse our heart from dead works. Looking at the book of Hebrews, if you have the book of Hebrews, cross-reference. Getting a good heart is not as easy as we think, otherwise things will have flowed smoothly. In Hebrews, and the scripture that we're going to look at, we start off here. And Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. See, it has to be a true heart first. What's a true heart? A loving heart. Where did God shed His love? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. He has shed abroad His love in our hearts. So He makes our heart true once again. And where self-love is there, He has replaced it with a love for God and love for others. And it says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Now, even your heart is true, it says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. See, how got evil conscience? What is an evil conscience? An evil conscience is a conscience that is insensitive to wrong. And because it's insensitive to wrong, it allows wrong to exist in your life. Thus you cannot sense it, and that's why it's evil. It's not necessarily... Because what is a conscience? Conscience is always a sense of right and wrong. An evil conscience will send wrong to be right. And sometimes right to be wrong. And sometimes don't sense wrong at all. Or don't sense right. So all these mixtures that we have in our conscience, and the blood of Jesus can cleanse us. And it says here, in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and look at the word good works. So we can stir ourselves in good works. So our heart must be sprinkled and cleansed. And how is that process done? Part of the process is, of course, through acknowledging the blood of Jesus. And forgiveness is very important. Forgiveness from God, forgiving others, forgiving yourselves. Important to forgive. But notice it's tied straight away to confession in verse 23, which if you bring everything together, it has to do with meditation. Part of meditation is cleansing. Hagar meditation, speaking to yourself, is cleansing. In John chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus says, my word has made you clean. My word has made you clean. And that cleanness in John chapter 15, verse 3, is the word katarizo, to purify. And the same word that is used for a pure heart.
We sing songs about pure heart. The pure in heart shall see God. The katarizo heart. So you say, how do I have a katarizo heart? Meditation on the Word. The Word is like a cleanser that seeps deep into our heart. So John 15 verse 3, Jesus says, you are already katarizo, or clean, because of the Word which I have spoken to you. And the word katarizo is also found in verse 2 of John 15. Except that it's been translated into the word prune. The word prune actually means to purify. But Jesus gave a picture of chopping off dead branches. And where is it working? In our heart. So we need a good heart. But a good heart doesn't come overnight. Yes, you are washed by the blood of Jesus. You have a new heart. But that new heart needs to grow to dominate our life. If the heart is automatic, then why should Hebrews chapter 10 tell us to draw near to God? He's talking to Christians. To draw near to God. To continue to have our hearts presented before God. And then even in the parable of the sower and the seed, the ground that is fruitful is called good ground. In Mark chapter 4, where the parable of the sower, the seed is there, it all have to do with the condition of the heart. It says here in chapter 4 verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground. See the word good ground. And when you cross-reference the parable, the sower and the seed, to other gospels, you find it also talk about a good and honest heart, in a sense, in some translation. Good ground. And that is why some ground produced 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Because God could sow in it. Now, if a ground produced 30-fold, that means 70-fold more to deal with. If a ground produced 60-fold, means 40% still not fruitful yet. If a ground produced 100-fold, then the heart is 100% purifying God. So we realize in point two, we need a good heart. And a good heart is a heart that continue to let the Word of God and the blood of Jesus cleanse it every day. And it's a daily process. It's just like brushing your teeth. You say, wow, you know, I got brushed the heart. Because every time you go and eat, you again have dirty your mouth. But you say, I don't want a dirty mouth, then don't eat. But I want to eat, so your mouth dirty. You can't do both. You can. If every day each time you eat, you cleanse your mouth. You brush your teeth. And so why does a heart need cleansing, brushing? Because our heart needs to endeavor to do things every day. The heart needs to be pumped up with desires, inclinations, dreams, and all kinds of works and plans that God has for us. And as it flows through us, self is added in, because there's an element of self. There's efforts and all those things. All those things missing, and then after God uses you. It's almost the same picture Jesus gave of John 15. What is the picture Jesus gave of John 15? He said that after you have borne fruit, correct? Not before. After you have borne fruit, you need to snip, snip. Now the snip, snip is not done on a branch that is dead. In fact, he did say those dead already taken and burned. But after you have borne fruit, he prunes. Didn't I tell you brushing teeth after eating? So after bearing fruit, brush your heart. So what kind of toothbrush can brush a heart? It's not a toothbrush. It's called a heart brush. And it's made from the Word of God. The meditation book and prayer and all that. It's brushing. Jesus said, John 15, that's pruning you. Taking all the branches that once bore fruit. And why? Have you ever looked at fruit trees and places where fruit grows from? Fruit always grows from fresh sections. And even when it seems to grow, old branch, it needs to produce some new shoots. Always. It's a fresh branches. And unless you cut off those branches that once upon a time was useful, new one cannot come up.
a new one cannot come up, it prevents you from bearing fruit. Good heart, very important. Good lips, good mouth. Well, he says in Luke chapter 6, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He says in verse 45, says, you know a tree by its fruit. And says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good fruit, and evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Third point, goodness has to flow through our lips. And this is something which is very present in the Greek that is there. And when you look at the word thanksgiving in the Greek, thanksgiving, which in the Hebrew is the word yada, which means to stretch out before God. But in the New Testament, the word thanksgiving is the word eucharis, from the word charis. What's the word charis? Grace in the Greek. Grace is from the Greek word charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. And thanksgiving is adding a prefix before the charis, which is the word EU. EU, which means eucharis. The word EU in the Greek just means good. Like for example, angelion, which means messenger or message or angel. Euangelion, the gospel, the good news or the good message. So the word eon or eon is the word that says it's good. So in a sense, thanksgiving is eucharis. And of course, the Roman Catholic Church had taken that to refer to the communion, the eucharis. And eucharis actually means literally good grace. Good grace or good favor, which ties up with the Old Testament part. Now, eucharis, it means good grace, has been translated the meaning as thanksgiving before God. And the root meaning is thanksgiving. So good grace affects our lips. And one part of love is that love thinketh no evil, love also only speaks good things. Love will not speak evil. And the thing about having grace and favor is watch your lips. If you are one of those who complain a lot, every complaint is a demerit point for grace and favor. And you complain, all right, let's see your complaint. Well, you wake up in the morning, and now I know that sometimes it happens, but then you quickly revert yourself. And you say, yeah, why the weather so hot? Ding! Injured taking note, -1. And then you go to the car, it's a bit crowded. So crowded, you got to wait for the second train. No, make it more crowded, you got to wait for the third train. And you go, this is terrible day. Another point. And you didn't hear it, but the buzzer sounded. You know how sometimes in quiz games, and as you answer, ding! But you answer wrong. And so the angel, okay, -. And then on your way, people push you, say, yeah, this person, terrible guy. Okay, one more thing. Then suddenly you realize, oh no, I've been complaining. Then you remember, between waking up and lunch, to pray 7 times a day, you got to do somewhere in between or so. So you praise the Lord. But you didn't want all the other people in MRT car to know, so you pretend to be holding on to the top. Praise you, Lord. Hold the other hand. Praise you, Lord. And so, as you praise the Lord, then suddenly in the spirit, ding! 1 point. And as you landed LRT, you got pushed to one side, you were aiming for the green gate. As you go near, somebody go right in front of you, shoo, which I have found they do quite common in Singapore. And as they do, go right in front of you. Just as you got to put the gate there, somebody, you don't know where they came from. You know, they are like Billy the Witch. And you say, this horrible person. Another minus here. And then as you go forward, you went to work, and then at lunchtime you remember to praise the Lord, and then you say, I've been complaining too much. So you're going to praise the Lord 3 times that afternoon. So you raise your hand, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. In the spirit, ding, ding, ding. Wow, 3 points. So the whole day has been going this way, that way, this way, that way. Then finally your scorecard for that day, minus. And if every day of your life is minus, at the end of 365 and a quarter days, it's minus 365 if you lost 1 point a day. If you lost 2 points a day, it's nearly about 700 over points. So actually, even though it's a year of grace and favor, you're actually going to disfavor that year. More and more. And then when you go into that, bad things happen. You say, God, why? Oh God, why? Well, that one you go up against God. Ding, 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 ding. About 20 points. And then you still wonder why God never answers. No wonder, no grace and favor. Now you know the simple answer. Point 3, thanksgiving. We don't give thanks because good things happen. We give thanks because we believe good things happen. We don't give thanks because it's easy. We give thanks even when it's hard. We don't give thanks because we are feeling good. We give thanks because it's our honor to give thanks for all that God has done. And the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise, like Hebrews 13 tells us, you give to God every day. And even if you could just put a plaster your mouth, some of us would actually be safe. Because at least it prevents you from minus. No minus, at least it's better, a better year than year, if you have always been accumulating minuses in your life. Of course, that's not just what we want. We want a life of praise and worship. So when you begin to live a life of praise and worship, you have eucharis. See, goodness has to flow from love. Goodness must affect your heart. And goodness must affect your mouth. And as goodness affects your mouth, what will be the personification of goodness affecting your mouth? Thanksgiving. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Everything you give thanks. So the devil could plan an evil day. Devil is not omnipotent or omniscient. And nor is he omnipresent. So he can only plan some days to make life more difficult for you than other days. He cannot plan every day. That's why the Bible in Ephesians 6 says, so that you can stand in the evil day. See, he targets certain days. And then when the devil throws his biggest missile at you on the evil day, that's the day when you are ready, because you've been preparing yourself. Every day worship God, the devil gets frustrated. And you win. On that day, God says, ding, 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 ding. Wow, so many points. So you can imagine, if every day you just continue to walk in goodness and mercy and flow with thanksgiving, the grace and favor in your life is rising and rising. And you will reach a point of what I call critical mass. When good things happen to you, remember I talked about the guy walking in the street, somebody just kicked him. Say, hey, why you kick me? Don't know why. You got this favor attract me to kick you. You know, it's just like a sticker at the back that people used to put when in classes. Please kick me. Right. It's there, the disfavor. But instead, the angel stick a sticker and says, bless this person. And the person doesn't know. So you're walking in the street, the person says,
Here's $10. Hey, what you give me? Don't know why, something make me give it to you. Because it might not happen to you, right? Okay. But I'm just illustrating the funny scenarios. But people just want to bless you because you have grown and you understand the relationship, not just between grace and wisdom, but the relationship between grace and goodness. And you flow in goodness. You don't worry too much about grace and favor. More here. Because that is a side effect of goodness. As you flow in goodness every day, and you know point three means that you choose to give thanks. And I already mentioned that the purpose of this life is to aim that in every situation you go through, mountains, valleys, deserts, oases, storms, or calm, you choose to love God. Now, out of the choice of loving God, you also choose to worship and praise Him. And if you are going through a difficult time, a really testing, and you could still lift up your hands and say, I love you, Lord, I worship you, and I give thanks to you. And people around you say, hey, what are you giving thanks for? All these bad things are happening. Because I love Him. Because I choose to. And because I believe all things work together for me, for good. Because I love God. And it might be like that now. I know the deeper the valley, the higher the mountain. And you praise God. Then, the quality of your worship and thanksgiving is actually greater. Think about that. When the Bible says give thanks to God in everything, the quality of your thanksgiving is greater if it's harder. Just as the quality of a person's love is deeper if it's harder to love another person. So it requires you to find more reason to love. Find more strength to still give out love when your energy is exhausted. You're dealing here not just with quantity, quality. Quality love and quality praise and worship to God. And that is why sometimes when you've gone through a tough time and you really love God, praise God, worship God, and then if you are worshiping, people could feel the quality of the anointing affecting them. Because it's quality love, not just shallow love. That love God when things are easy. You love God when times are hard. You praise God even when times are hard. And so whatever happens in David's life, 7 times a day, he praised God. That's quality. It's not affected by any surroundings. And so in the third area, quality worship. And the root word of good grace is actually equal to thanksgiving. Give thanks. Find a way to give thanks. And give thanks and thank God in everything. And in the end, Merlin Carotis, he discovered the power of praise. And he wrote a book, Prison to Praise and Everything. And already in his book, full of testimonies. He's not in the Faith Message yet. So there's something he said that need to be balanced with the Faith Message. But outside of that, just a discovery, the book by Merlin Carotis, Prison to Praise, which was his first book, and then later Power and Praise, everything else, are full of, not just a few, thousands of testimonies of people's life change, and miracles happen to them, because they learn to praise the Lord in everything, in every situation. How powerful is that? Now, isn't that a testimony to grace and favor? That whole movement of Prison to Praise is a testimony to the power of grace and favor working if we will give thanksgiving with our lips. The fourth point, which we will not touch on, has to do with good works. And that tie up with something else too. But for today, we have 3 points. That goodness full from love, a good heart through meditation, and the blood of Jesus cleansing you. If you did anything wrong that your conscience trouble you, go for the blood of Jesus. Now the blood of Jesus can remove the tinge of guilt
and let you know that you're truly in the sight of God forgiven. But to remove the root of those things that cause you to do the sin or to fall into sin takes meditation to pull out the roots. And so meditation, pull out the very roots that are within you, to snip off those branches that are not, that used to bear fruit or not bearing fruit, burn it off before God, and you purify yourself. And thirdly, power of thanksgiving is the culmination of goodness in our life. Pursue goodness and truly grace and favor will be in your life. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us this year to great grace and favor. As we analyze our lives before you, O God, as we lay bare ourselves, we today can see why grace and favor didn't flow in our lives at times. We can begin to see, Lord, where we make mistakes in not allowing grace and favor to flow. So, Father, we ask that the blood of Jesus will cleanse every one of us. Cleanse our lips. Touch our lips, Lord, like you touched Isaiah. And cleanse his lips. Be a coal of fire from your throne. Cleanse our heart, O God. Even cut off the branches that used to bear fruit but now cannot bear fruit, and remain there as a self-sticking thing or self-pride that you once used as. Cut off those branches and let new branches grow that can bear fruit. Because each time you gave in an Isaac, we can forget about you. But let us remember, Lord, Isaac has come from you. Each time you use us, O Lord, and we look back, we can sometimes become self-seeking and self-glorifying. But you have chosen to take off those branches so that new branches can grow, that we can bear fruit in you. So, Father, we begin to see now, Lord, how to have more grace and favor in our life. And we pray this message will change and transform lives, Lord, because we know you're a God of signs and wonders. You're a God of power and awesomeness. And we live in a day when, Jesus, you can do great signs and wonders. And your angels are all ready to do wonderful things in our life, to release goodness and mercy. So, Father, teach us. Teach us, O Lord, to have goodness flow in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's all rise together and sing that song, "Surely Goodness and Mercy Follow Us All the Days of Our Life." Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Now the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you grace and favor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Give you a good clap offering.